message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word, once again, will be a real blessing and a help to you. We're going to look at the book of Romans today, and especially beginning in Romans chapter number 1. I've said to you now for the last several weeks that the issue in the life of a believer, once you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the issue in your life is what Paul calls godly edification. The first issue is not you joining a church. The first issue is not you getting baptized or speaking in tongues or tithing or witnessing or doing all the things that people like to try to tell you about. The first issue is for you to grow up spiritually, so that as a mature, understanding, intelligized saint, you'll be able to discern how to execute the will of God in the details of your life and be able to do it by faith in what God says, and thus have it be not you, but Christ living in you, effectively living through you, that's accomplishing His work and His Word. You can't live for the Lord. You can't go serve the Lord. You can't do the work of God as a believer any more than you could get saved by your own works and your own doing and your own accomplishments. Just as you have to trust Christ to save you, rely exclusively upon what He did, so it is as a believer, you have to trust Christ to live His life through you. You'll find that it's an absolute impossibility to live the Christian life on your own. Only Jesus Christ can live His life. And that's what godly edification is all about. It has to do with edifying of your soul as a believer in accordance with the dispensation that God has in effect, with the program that God has in effect today. Sometimes people say, "Brother Rick, I want to do the will of God in my life. I want to be right in the center of God's will." You ever want to do that? You ever hear somebody talk about that? Back in the old days, we used to say, "Well, we want to be right in the center of God's will." Well, my friend, if you want to do the will of God, what you have to do, and it's not all that complicated and difficult, it's not that mystical. If you want to do the will of God, what you do is find out what God is doing and then go do that. If you'll do what God's doing, then you'll be doing the will of God. Instead of sitting around trying to figure out what does God want me to do and where should I be and what should I be doing and what should I, you know, instead of focusing on yourself, focus on Him. Focus on what He's doing. And just go and participate with Him in what He's doing. By faith, do what He says He's doing. And you know what? You'll find out that it is Him doing it. And you'll be doing the will of God. Well, the issue is for you edification. And edification is an edifice, a building. And the issue is to construct a house or a building or an edifice of sound doctrine in your inner man, so that you can live in that house of doctrine and live out of that doctrine, go out of it to serve, that it can be Christ living and dwelling in you. I love these figures of speech. It's an edifice, it's a building. Christ dwelling, you're a dwelling. You're to be a home, a house, a dwelling, a temple. There's to be this doctrinal structure in your inner man through which the Lord Jesus Christ is able to live His life for His own glory. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about some things along this line. Chapter 1, verse number 11, he says, "For I long to see you," talking to the Roman believers, "for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." Paul desired for the believers at Rome and for you and for me that we would be established. That is, that we would be firmly fixed, stabilized. That is, now he's going to define what he means by you being established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, when he talks about the mutual faith here, he's not talking about these people at Rome getting saved. He's not talking about them coming to trust Christ initially for justification, because these people already were saints. They already were saved people. Verse number 7, he addresses them to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these people already were saints by calling. They were already saved people. They'd already been called by the gospel. They'd already been called into the fellowship of His Son. They're already saved people. They're in the family of God. They're in the body of Christ. And as believers, as saints, He says, I want you and I to share the same faith, the mutual faith, both of you and of me. He wanted to establish them in the mutual faith. That is, He wanted to establish them in the same understanding, mutual, something we share in common, faith, the doctrine. He wanted them to have the same understanding that He had about what God had accomplished for them and for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us all to understand what God has done for us in Christ. And He wants us to understand it the way He understood it. You see, the book of Romans was written for the purpose of establishing the believer in an understanding of what God has accomplished for us in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come over to Romans chapter number 16, at the end of the book, when He finishes writing the book of Romans as establishment truth, the reason the book of Romans is the first one of Paul's epistles found in your Bible is that the book of Romans is the great foundation of grace. It's the great foundation for everything that's going to follow in Paul's epistles. Somebody says, well, the books really ought to be in your Bible in chronological order in which they were written. No, no, no. The books in your Bible were placed there according to a form of sound words, according to a spiritual design for which they were written in the first place. And Romans is a book of doctrine written to establish the believer in the faith, so that we would have the mutual faith. We would understand exactly what Paul understood, what Christ had taught Paul about what God had accomplished through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to chapter 16, he ends the book exactly the same way, only here he amplifies it into the next step. Romans 16, 25, now to him that is of power to establish you. That's what he said in chapter 1. He wants them to be established. Now to him that has power to establish you according to. Here is the means whereby God is going to establish the believer. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And a third way. Notice the ands in the verse. He's going to establish you according to, number one, my gospel. And, second way to establish you, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And he's going to establish you a third way, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, that passage, that threefold method of God establishing the believer, that's the pattern, that's the procedure for the believer being established in the dispensation of grace. And we've talked to you about it before. But this mutual faith that Paul had, this understanding that Paul had about about what God had accomplished and what God is doing through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, laid out this threefold division here, is that which you and I have to build into our soul in order to have an understanding of what it is God's doing. You start out with the foundation, and I'm going to divide the board here up into two sections here. You start out with the foundation, and the foundation is laid, and that foundation is found in the book of Romans. Romans is a foundation book. The foundation of the, spell it right, and it'll work a little better probably. the foundation in here is my gospel. Now, Paul's gospel is what has been explained to you in the book of Romans. The details of it have been laid out there. And Paul understood that the believer, we need to know the details of the gospel of grace that's committed to the Apostle Paul. We need to be oriented to God's grace. You need to be grace-oriented. You need to come to understand and to think the way grace thinks. Now, on top of that, the next step is to be built the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. In other words, on the foundation here is to be built the superstructure of the building. And that'll have to do with the fullness of what it is God is going to do with the church. Why did He form the body of Christ? And in here you're going to have this information is laid down in the doctrinal book of Ephesians. Romans is doctrine. Corinthians and Galatians are reproof and correction in relationship to this foundation doctrine. Ephesians is the next book of doctrine. This is doctrine about the cross. This is doctrine about the church, the body of Christ. Now, Ephesians is doctrine. Philippians and Colossians is reproof and correction about the doctrine of Ephesians. In here, you have the mystery program. Preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. The issue of the mystery program, you need to be oriented to what it is, why it is God is forming the body of Christ. And in here you see the glory of God's purpose in forming the church, the body of Christ. There are some special things that God's going to do with the body of Christ that demonstrate His wisdom and His grace in a marvelous manner. And you and I need to be oriented to that. We need to understand why God saved us. What is His plan? What is His purpose? And what is it He is going to be doing with us? You see there, you start out with the issue of grace, the distinctives of Paul's gospel and the gospel of the grace of God, and you understand all that the cross has accomplished for us. Then you move into the issue of the unprophesied mystery program, this unprophesied purpose and agents and goal in here, and you see the purpose and the power and the position that God is going to give the church, the body of Christ, throughout all the ages to come out here. And in Ephesians, you move over into, in fact, if you come over to Ephesians chapter 1, you'll notice that Paul is praying for the Ephesians that they would understand just these kind of things. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice He wants you to understand some things about who God is and what God is doing. You know, one of the marvelous things about teaching the Word of God rightly divided is that I can study and try to get information together and put it out. And what I do is so wonderful. You just sit there and study, and I stand here and try to teach you about how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is, how marvelous His plans and His program and what He's accomplishing is, and how His wisdom has planned it all and put it all together, and how His grace has provided it all freely on the basis of what He's accomplished for us. And Paul said, I want you to understand Him. I want you to understand how He thinks. I want you to understand how He responds. I want you to understand Him and know Him and understand the intricacies of His desires and His purposes and His plans. And that's what this appear is about. Down here is the foundation where we stand and how we've been equipped. Now we're going to enter into the mind of God and into the mystery of His will and begin to understand how He thinks. Why? Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, spiritual understanding and light and sight being given to you. That comes out of the Word of God. The reason that you may know, I'll say it to you again, your Christian life won't operate on the basis of ignorance. When you got saved, God didn't just bore a hole inside of your head and take a hose and start filling up your head with spiritual brains and wisdom. What He did is He gave you the capacity spiritually as His child to understand His Word. He preserved His Word for you. He gave it to you. He's given you a prescribed way of studying it, rightly dividing it. And He says, now get in there and get the information. and build up that house of doctrine in your soul. Build a foundational orientation to grace. And I've written it down for you, and it's there in Romans, and get into it. And then move on from there on up here into the superstructure. Understand this body of Christ that you've been made a part of by the gospel. By virtue of this foundation, this superstructure that's being built today. Understand those things. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? You notice it's His power, it's His riches, it's His inheritance, it's His calling. You see that? You see, God is doing something for Himself today. And you and I, when we trust Jesus Christ, we're made a part of what God is accomplishing for His own glory. It's not just what He did for me. But it's what He's doing for Himself. It's not what I do. It's not my calling and my inheritance and my power. It's His calling and His inheritance and His riches and His power. We get out of ourselves and into Him as we understand what He's doing. And these books over here, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, are written especially to identify for us and to bring us into an understanding of the purpose, the hope of His calling, of the power involved in it, the glory of His inheritance and the greatness of His power, and the position that the church, the body of Christ, is going to occupy in the ages to come, what He's going to do with us, where we're going to spend eternity, what we're going to be doing, and how it all will be for His glory. Then you come on, you move on from there, and He sort of puts the roof on the house up here, if you will. And the roof on the house is that last thing there in Romans 16. It's the scriptures of the prophets. And what the scriptures of the prophet has to do with is just the rest of the Word of God. And you'll find that, how all of that relates together in Thessalonians. Because the books of Thessalonians deal with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out there in the coming, you begin to see His glory is going to be revealed out here in what's going on in the Lord Jesus Christ. The goal of everything is demonstrated in here. The glory that He'll have in the ages to come is demonstrated out there. Romans is the foundation. It's written to establish the believer. When you build a house, you want to get it firmly fixed on a foundation. Romans does that. Ephesians takes you on up into the superstructure. Tells you about the fullness of what God's doing in the church, the body of Christ. And here you see the goal that He has. Where is He going? What's the goal of what God's doing? And then in Thessalonians out here, you see the glory of it. You see how that the riches of the glory of His grace are demonstrated through the church, the body of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, every chapter ends with a statement about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter. In 2 Thessalonians, He deals with the advent of Christ back to the earth. You see the relationship between the prophetic program and the mystery program back out in here. Now, after Thessalonians, there's another group of epistles. And that's Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And those epistles, they deal with the local church. They deal with the congregation. They're not dealing with the program, the details of the cross and the details of who the body is and where it's going, the details of how you're going to get there. These churches, these epistles here, they deal with the fruit of all of this in time right now in your ministry. These epistles explain, all right, here's the house. The foundation is laid. The superstructure is built. The roof's been put on. Now, these epistles explain how you go in and live in this house, how that house lives in you. They deal with the issue of godliness. Godliness, you know, a lot of folks have a lot of ideas about godliness. We don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go with the folks that do. You know, that's godliness. We don't play cards, we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't cuss, we don't go to theater, and so on and so forth. And that's godliness. We don't wear wire-rimmed glasses. We don't let the boys wear the hair long, and the girls wear the skirt short. You know the stuff. Mama's got to be ugly and dad can't have a life. You got to put the kids in a box so the world can't touch them. And that's godliness, you know. That's not godliness in the Bible. See, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. How'd you get holy? You didn't get holy because you quit doing something. You got holy because God made you holy. He separated you, set you apart in Christ. That's who you are, not what you're going to do. Listen, you can do everything you could think about doing. Quit doing everything you didn't want to, that you've been wanting to do and scared God doesn't want you to. Quit everything you can think of quitting. Do everything you can think of doing. You won't be holy a day. You won't be holy for a half a second. You don't have the capacity in yourself and your doings, and I don't, to be holy. But God made us holy in Christ. See, God has made Him unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's been made our holiness, our sanctification. Present your body a living sacrifice holy unto God, a living sacrifice holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know how transformation's going to come? This house of doctrine's going to produce it. It'll produce godliness. That word godliness, God-likeness. The Greek word means proper worship. The way you worship God today is by taking the doctrine of what God's doing today and letting that be what lives in you. And the way that's accomplished is by building the foundation, laying the foundation properly, not laying it piecemeal. Now what happens is that people begin to get in the Word of God and they begin to study and they say, well, I think I want to build some godliness into my life. And so they go over here in the book of Romans and they pull out a sack of concrete. Then they go up here in Ephesians and they get a couple of 2x4s, and then they go over here in Thessalonians and they get some shingles and they get them all out there on the yard and they start trying to nail them together, and you'll never have a house that works. You'll never have a house to live in that keeps the sun off of you in the heat and the rain off of you in the wet and insulates you from the cold and the snow and the heat and all and the elements, that gives you stability to live in the circumstances in your life successfully for God's glory. Handle the details of your life for His glory until you build that structure the way God's built it. Folks, if you want to, you have to be oriented to God's grace. That's the foundation. It's found in the book of Romans. We're going to start talking next week about how the book of Romans, what the foundation's like. Then when you got the foundation laid, Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 6, Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Because of the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, the gospel of grace, when you begin to understand what it is to be oriented to grace and living by grace, listen, when you understand that, you know how God's equipped you to live on planet Earth in time as a member of the body of Christ for His glory. I mean, that answers the questions about your security and about your sins and about how Satan feels about you and about whether or not you're Israel and all the rest. Then you move up in here and you begin to see that by that gospel you've been made a part of the church, the body of Christ, for which God has a wonderful future. There is a goal and a purpose for which God created. Did you understand, folks, God didn't create the body of Christ just to keep you out of hell? That's a wonderful side benefit. But that isn't all there is to it. There's far more involved in it than just keeping some rascal like you out of the flames of the lake of fire. That's wonderful. I'm glad He's going to do it. But there's more to it than that. See, our salvation isn't just for us. It's the gift of God to us. But what we find is that it's for Him. And it's for His glory. And so we get up here on the... And you know what you do? When you do that, you just find yourself living out there on the veranda of the roof of God's grace, looking out across the ages and seeing His glory and His wisdom in what He's accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, but I'm not there yet. That's right. And that's why you got these epistles up here that explain to you how to function together ministry-wise in time as a congregation of believers who function together, who have this truth functioning in them for God's glory. Now, when Paul said, I want to establish you and that we might share the mutual faith, both of you and me, he's talking about having that understanding of what God's doing. Now, that's not religion. And that's not church. And that's not denomination. You see, when God looks down from heaven and sees you and me down here and sees the world, sees mankind, He doesn't look down here and say, there's a Baptist and there's a Methodist and there's a Catholic and there's a Lutheran and there's an Episcopalian and there's a Buddhist and there's a Mohammedan and there's a humanist and there's an atheist. And He doesn't do that. He just looks down here and He sees all mankind and He says, there's a bunch of sinners. What have they done with my Son? There's a bunch of sinners. What have they done with the one that loved them and gave His life for them? That's the issue. You see, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to Calvary, that cruel cross, and He died there with the weight and the penalty and the load of your sin on His soul. And you know what the Bible says? God will see see His travail and is satisfied. God is satisfied with what His Son did there. Are you? Do you believe what God believes? And that is that what His Son did is enough? And that what He's doing today, as He's revealed it in His Word, is the real issue? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior, I trust you'll do it today. If you have a question, our announcer will be here in just a minute to give you our phone number and our address. Let us hear from you. All we want to do is help you out of the Word of God. We're trying to sell you something. We're trying to share something with you, some truth about God's Word and about what God's doing. And if you're saved today, you have trusted Christ. My friend, you need to get into the Word of God rightly divided and begin to build into your life that mutual faith and share it with Paul and share it with God. That's why we offer you these free Bible study tapes. We have one for you today. Dan will come and give you the address now. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Mutual Faith. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 214. That's tape offer number 214. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with the Bible study in this area, where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.